Hi, everybody. I'm Jane Ray, and welcome to another episode of Joyous Journeys Over 60. As always, I'm joined with joined by my podcast partner, Andrea Stein.
Jane, I really enjoy these times together with you. Looking forward to another episode.
Yeah, we always have a great conversation.
We always have a great time and always learn a lot and always go to some interesting places.
And today we're joined by Carolyn Miokovich. And the topic we're going to talk about today is one that I think many of our generation face and potentially will face in the future. And that's the grief and a new lifestyle associated with losing a spouse or a partner. So Carolyn, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
We're so pleased that you're willing to share your story with us. And for those that are listening, whether you've gone through it, you're going through it, you're afraid of it, I think this is a very important and sensitive topic for us to talk about. Mm-hmm. So Carolyn, why don't you start? Tell us a little bit of your story.
Okay. My honey and I met him in 1975, Stephen John, and we got married in 1977, and we had, honestly, we really did have a wonderful life together. We were married nearly 42 years before he died, and we had two major arguments in that whole time, and obviously, it was something we got through because we were married almost 42 years. But it was a really neat relationship. I don't know how else to describe it. I felt really blessed, and hopefully he did too. But we never had any children or anything, but we always had the dream of moving down here from Wisconsin to Florida. And that dream became our reality in 2008. And we moved down here in July, the end of July, and had a house and everything. And we were really just living the lifestyle. You know, we were both retired by that time. We were living the lifestyle. He loved to golf. I kind of golfed. Didn't love it as much as he did, but I did have fun. And I don't know, we just had a nice life. And then in 2012, just 4 years after we moved down here, he started coughing and stuff. And I thought, what the heck? And well, he did too. And we went to a doctor, and he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's large B-cell lymphoma. And so we weren't sure where that came from. His dad died of leukemia. His brother died of what Steve had. But in a different form, but it was a non-Hodgkin's thing. And so we went to Florida Cancer Center. We somehow ended up with the director of the Florida Cancer Center as our doctor, Dr. Lowell Hart, and he was wonderful. And he went on a regimen of chemo and radiation for, man, I don't even remember. I think it was like a total of like 6 months. And at that time, we had found Peace Lutheran Church almost as soon as we moved down here. And so he wasn't that active at the time, but he became more active as we became longer term members here. So anyway, he went through the chemo and radiation. He had to stay away from church because of his compromised immune system. Well, he survived that, and we were just thrilled, and we took a trip to Tybee Island to celebrate and everything. It was a really neat experience, you know, and there we were together again. We were always together, but it was just going through the whole process of that illness that was, to us, unexpected. So, and we're living our lives and just loving our life down here, and then in 2018, he started coughing, and I knew right away. I just knew right away that something wasn't right, and went back to the doctor, and all heck broke loose. And he was diagnosed again with the same thing. And what they told us then was that, and it's still true today, but what they told us that we didn't know was that the type of cancer that Steve had remembers the treatment that it got before. So you can't do that again, which to me made no sense because it cured him for at least, almost six more years. You know, and I thought, why can't you just do that again? No, you have to go through a clinical trial. So we didn't even know if any of those existed. It did. And we were very grateful it was right here in Fort Myers and actually through the Florida Cancer Center. So we were able to keep our doctor and went through that. There are no placebos in cancer clinical trials. So we knew he was getting something. We didn't know quite what that was, but we went back for the, and I say this, we, because we were definitely a team. We were always together at the doctor's office, always. Asking questions and maybe filling in where the doctor might, or one of us might not have shared the information with the doctor that he might have found useful. So we were all as a team. So, okay, so he finished that regimen and he did pretty well on it. We had to have some of the meds adjusted because it affected his blood pressure and he would pass out and stuff like that, which was pretty scary for me, and I'm sure him too. But so he went for his PET scan and we were excited. And, you know, we got the call to come back to have it read and all that stuff. Well, it got rid of 85% of the cancer, but then it stopped working. And when a clinical trial stops working, you have to go off the clinical trial and either find a new one or that's as far as you can go. Well, the doctor has found another clinical trial, and this one was in Sarasota. And so we went up to Sarasota, and this was in, I have to think and see when this one took place. January of 2019, and April 15th of 2019 is when he died. That clinical trial never worked. And, you know, he had to choose these things. He was of sound mind, and he had a couple that he could have picked. And I let him choose which one. And I still believe he made the right choice. We didn't know what the other one would come to either. You know, you just don't know with a clinical trial. But he made the best choice for his mind at that time, and for me too. I mean, I agreed with what he selected, because he's the one who has to go through it. He was the one who had to go through it. So anyway, this one never worked. And this isn't really funny, but the only sure thing in life are death and taxes. Steve was always very organized. Well, he died on tax day. So, I mean, you know, it is kind of not funny, but a little chuckle, you know, just because sometimes you have to find that. Needless to say, my life changed drastically. We never had children, and I was all of a sudden by myself. And we really didn't, I mean, we had Christmas in 2018, and he was okay. And in January, like I said, was when he started that other clinical trial. And I don't know, maybe he wasn't okay for Christmas, but it sure seemed to be. We were at parties, you know, a couple of the different Christmas parties with friends. You know, it was a wonderful last Christmas, but we didn't know it was going to be the last Christmas, of course. So anyway, so my life changed after April 15th, 2019.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, the journey itself just sounds like, again, no words for it. I mean, you were so close.
Very.
You were going through this together.
Yes.
And then to face the unfortunate outcome of the second clinical trial.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking.
It was. I felt lost. I felt really lonely. You know, I thought, what am I going to do now?
Best friends, partner, spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, my first without him in my life was our wedding anniversary. And it would have been 42 years in May. And that was really, really hard. Living down here in Florida and having my family back in Wisconsin was difficult. they didn't come down here for the service, but I also had a service up in Wisconsin. And that's where I gained my support from them. They were with me through the whole thing down here virtually, but not in person. You know, and I understand that. That's fine. But did I miss them down here? Absolutely. I would have rather had them here too, you know. But as it turns out, you know, they were there for the Wisconsin service, which was beautiful. So I just started to live a completely different life, completely unexpected at that time in my life, in our lives. I still say our. It's hard for me to say me or my, you know, and I still say we live, or, you know, I don't know if that'll ever go away, but people know I have pets. So I feel comfortable saying we, because they might think I'm talking about my cats and my dog. So, you know, but it still hits me sometimes that I refer to us as we, us, me, as we.
Well, and it's a testament to a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful relationship.
It really was.
How do you go about, Carolyn, learning a totally new life? I mean, is it just taking each day as it comes and seeing how it goes? Or do you plan this? Were you ready for the emotions? But I mean, when you were 16, 17, you go off for college, you're ready to learn a new, mm-hmm. different life. Mm-hmm. How do you learn a totally different life at that stage in your journey?
Yeah, it was not easy. And it was not, well, sometimes it was like day to day. I never felt like I was going to take my own life or anything like that. I knew, I still know, but I knew then, even then, that God had a purpose for me. I truly, truly know that. I mean, my church family is everything to me, as you probably know. But I just, living without him was the hardest thing, because we always did everything together. There are still some things today that I don't know that he always did for me. Like, this is going to be embarrassing for me to say, but I'm going to say it. Something as simple as using the vacuum cleaner. I know how to use the vacuum cleaner, but I don't know how to use any of the attachments hooked up to the hoses, you know, because he always did that stuff for me. I tried renting a rug cleaner one time. He always did that. I couldn't even get the darn thing to turn on, you know, so I took it back to Ace Hardware, you know. So, I mean, stuff like that, I really, you know, I hate dusting. He used to dust all the time, you know, day-to-day stuff like that. Maybe some people don't think about a lot, but that was now my life. I mean, oh my gosh, you know, Steve used to do this for me, and now he's not here. Now what am I going to do? Guess what? I have to do it, or find someone to do it, you know. But there were days when I just slept, because that was like an escape from being lonely, you know. And it's true. I slept my life away for a while, and then I finally got a therapist, and I'm so happy I found her. Because she helped me a lot. And you know, I mean, people might feel uncomfortable doing that. I did not feel uncomfortable doing that. You might have to find more than one, because your first interaction with your first choice might not be what you expect. And there's nothing wrong with that, from what I understand. She was my first choice, and I found her online. You know, and we just had a really good connection right from the start, and she helped me immensely. And at first I was going to her once a week, and I was so grateful I had her. And she helped me try to see things in like an individual way instead of a couple way. It was really different, and it was hard for me to accept a lot of that, but I knew to grow and build myself back up to what I knew I was capable of, maybe. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. I had to relearn my life as a single person, I guess.
Let me ask you, Carolyn. Now, I know after Steve passed away, you also moved within Fort Myers. Was that kind of just something you just wanted to live a different area, or was it kind of escape a certain loneliness? Take us a little bit through your thought or heart processes on that decision to move, even though within the same area, but still moving.
We lived in Estero. I don't know who gets this podcast, but I mean, we lived in Estero, Florida, and that was about 14, 16 miles, depending on the way we took, to our church back and forth. And we had become very active at church. And during season, it got really difficult to navigate that. But anyway, we loved living out in Estero. We loved it. And that's where he got sick. However, I stayed in the house for most of that year in 2019. And the memories there were really, really hard for me. He had fallen numerous times. He had hit his head and there was blood and all that stuff. And I kept thinking about that. And then we had a little doggy, Oliver, and Oliver would sit in the hallway and wait for Daddy to come home. And that was really hard for me. That was just really, really hard for me. I have the most wonderful neighbors. I miss them to this day. But I couldn't stay there because the memories were making me feel worse. As much as I love the home, and yeah, it's just a physical place, but it was filled with our memories after having moved down from Wisconsin. This was going to be our new life down here, you know. So I talked to some people at church, and they said, you know, I wanted to move closer to church. And church was my sanctuary at that time. No pun intended. And Rick would have liked that. And people at church told me of different neighborhoods to look at, and one of them was where I am now. And there are a number of people who live in that community. And so I looked in there, and I liked it. And so I got a villa there, a single floor villa. That's just what they call them. It was nothing la-di-da or anything like that. It was just very nice and comfortable. And then Hurricane Ian came. And Hurricane Ian, a lot of people lost a lot of things. I was more fortunate than most, but I did lose a lot in Hurricane Ian. Before that happened, okay, so I moved there in 2020, okay? And then in October of 2020, I lost my little Oliver. I don't know, that was really hard. And he was the only pet I had had at that time. And he died a week after Steve's birthday in 2020. So 2022, I was very lonely during that time then without a pet or anything. And 2022, Hurricane Ian came, and by that time I had adopted two kitties from Lee County Domestic Animal Services, where I used to volunteer. And that kind of wiped me out. You know, I got water damage, not severe water damage, but enough where they have to take drywall out and all that stuff. And then I didn't get enough insurance money to pay to rebuild it. So I had to find another place. And so I'm still in the same community, but I moved to a second floor, you know, feeling that would be a lot safer. And I feel safer there. But it's still, there was this pull that I was still lonely. I was still really lonely. And I left this block of friends that I made on the block where I moved to that other main floor villa thing. And it felt like I was losing them, even though I was in the same community. It was far enough away from them where I wasn't like included anymore. And that's an interesting thing about when your life changes. When you lose somebody, you think of the friends that you had as a couple. But then those friends all of a sudden aren't there for us anymore, or for me. A single person is, in my opinion, looked at differently than when I was with Steve. I'm not invited to things that we would have been invited to, that we were invited to before, and now that it's just me, why don't they ask me? You know, stuff like that. It's hard. It's just darn hard.
Curious. Now, did you ever talk to your friends about that, or did you just accept it, resign, said, okay, if I'm not invited, I don't go?
I was sad. I can't remember talking to very many of them about that. I just kept feeling lonelier, you know, because I saw that they were still having the events that we were invited to. I guess I should, now that you bring that up, I probably should have done that.
But it shook your confidence.
It did.
Yeah.
Well, of course it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I thought, am I considered like an extra cog in the wheel or something that wouldn't make it turn as well or what? You know, I don't know how else to say it. But yeah, that's, I never thought about really asking them, why didn't you invite me like we were invited as a couple just last year?
But you are already hurting and lonely and grieving and then asking something like that.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of, I don't know.
Courage.
Courage, that's the right word.
Yeah, it takes a lot of courage, yeah.
Absolutely.
And I wasn't feeling a lot of that at that
absolutely.
Time, you know. And even today, I mean, there are things like I just talked to you about, you know, like the rug cleaner and stuff like that. You know, darn it, I have to hire a rug cleaning company, you know, when I'd rather do it. Well, I don't really want to do it myself. But I mean, I want to feel like I can do it myself,
right.
You know? But I don't know. I just...
You touched on a couple of different subjects that I would just like to dive a little deeper in on, and one of which was safety, right?
Yeah.
Because again, I think there is a certain confidence in being safe when there's other people around, right? Whether you know, whether it's a partner, a spouse, a sibling, or something else, but living alone is a very, very different.
Yes.
Feeling, particularly as far as safety goes. And it isn't just safety like somebody's going to break into the house.
Mm-hmm.
It could be safety in terms of, you know, what if I fall? What if I...
Right.
Talk a little bit about how... Because you mentioned that you felt safe.
Yeah, I did. Used to. I used to feel safe. That's a huge difference in my life. When I moved to the second floor, it was to keep me safe from the waters of hurricanes, you know. However, I also moved to a bigger building. It's a three-story building, and it's a number of units in that building. There are 24 units in that building, and I didn't know everybody. And there were a lot of snowbirds in that building, so there weren't a lot of us who were year-round. There were only five units that had people in them year-round out of the 24. So I felt pretty alone, you know. So I had installed a deadbolt lock, you know, with a code on it and everything that I use every single day, you know. But even, you know, just the closeness of having someone with you during a storm, you know, like Milton,
right?
That just happened, you know. I adopted a doggy last year. Charlie, and he gets along now with my cats, Harley and Bentley. And the only time all three of my pets were on the bed with me was when I moved from my
it's okay, no worries. Yeah,
you know, my master bedroom to the guest bedroom, because the wind was coming from the west, and that's how my master bedroom faces west, and I was scared. So I moved with my pets into the guest bedroom, and all three of them slept on the bed. It's the first time that's ever happened. You know, it's almost like they could sense it. And I was so grateful for that, because I felt like I wasn't alone, even though they were pets. And, you know, I love my cats, but Charlie, at least I can talk to Charlie almost like a human. Cats are, you know, they're fun, kind of, and everything, and they're very independent, you know, and you can talk to a cat, but no response, you know. So, I mean, I had to get Charlie. I had to get another dog, as hard as it was. I never thought I would, but I had to get another dog, and I'm grateful I have him, because he makes me, I talk to him all the time.
He makes you feel safe.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that, because I have a puppy and three cats. So
okay.
Trust me, I understand that really, really
Kindred
well. And I
there,
tend to talk to the dog more than more than my cats. But But yeah, I think there is a sense of safety in numbers, even if it's your dog and your cats, it's that we're going through this together. And and there is kind of a relationship there that I think that people that are either suddenly single or widowed or whatever, I think having a pet really does allow you to also pour your love into another living being, which is nice. Yeah. You mentioned about the church being your family and really, you know, helping you through, particularly, you know, the early days of all of this. Did you look at other research? Did you turn to, I mean, I love the idea that you know, the fact that you went to a therapist. I think, I think a lot of people don't do that when they should, or join a grief counseling group.
It's so worth it. It is so worth it. And I had the opportunity to join a group grief center at Joanne's house, where Steve spent only 2 days before dying. But I wanted one-on-one, and I purposely chose a counselor who was not able to provide medication to me, because I didn't want to take a prescription to hide anything. I wanted to work through it. I wanted to work through my loneliness, through my grief, without taking drugs. You know, that was important to me to do. So, you know, as it is, I am on Lexapro, but that was my regular doctor. And you know what? It's a low dose, and I don't care. So, you know, I take it every day. Here I am. I'm doing okay. My one of the things I did, though, I volunteered for 10 years, and this was even after Steve passed. I went to Lee County Domestic Animal Services, and I volunteered there as a cat adopter. And that's where I got my 2 boys and then my doggy, too. And volunteering in any capacity, no matter where it is or what you do, is so worth it. It's so worth it. And you may have seen that by making me volunteer coordinator, but it's an easy thing to do. You know, I needed to fill my time. I was lonely, so how could I get less lonely? Guess what? Volunteer. You know, Harry Chapin Food Bank, we were very active there. Salvation Army, we were active there. You know, I mean, just do something.
Sense of purpose.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what I would do without that.
Your story is so remarkable, because I think that there are many others who went through, even before Steve passed. I mean, that you know, hearing you talk about that journey, and it doesn't even, those words don't even feel like they're deep enough to be able to express. I mean, I think you did such a remarkable job in making us feel what you felt.
Really?
And thank you for that, because I think that's really important, not only for Andreas and I, but for anyone that's listening, to be able to open up your heart and speak your truth.
Yeah. Is there like a little time to talk about my future?
Oh, please. Okay. Please.
This was a very, very difficult decision. I'm going to be moving back to Wisconsin next year, and I'm hoping it is by spring next year. And there are a couple of reasons for more than a couple, but one of the reasons was my dear friend who just went through cancer and then died with no family really present. And he relied on people from church to support him through his illness. And it ended nothing like any of us wanted, but we're grateful that he's now out of pain and whole again. So, but anyway, I don't want that to be me. I don't want, God forbid, something to happen to me down here with no family here who knows anything about Florida, and they'd have to stick me somewhere without knowing where to put me, you know, if anything bad happened. So I made the decision based on what Rick went through to move back to family, not only because of what Rick went through, but also because I missed them. My best friend is up there. She and her husband were matron of honor and best man for our wedding. I still went up there once a year at least to see them, to see her. We go to Door County and all that stuff. But she lost her daughter to breast cancer this past year. And I went up for the funeral. And I mean, I want to be with them again. I want to be with my sister, with my niece, my nephew, and their children, you know. And, you know, all my long-term friends are up there, and they feel like my friends still. They're in contact with me via phone, even sometimes video chat. I don't have any of that connection down here. I have friends who I think are very dear, but not like my friends, my longtime friends up there. And I just want to spend, I guess, the rest of my life there, knowing that there's a place for me. And I'm not looking at it as being sad, being down here, but it's going to be like my ending. It's going to be the ending I want to the best of my ability, you know, filled with people who love me and whom I love.
But you're making decisions now for Carolyn.
Yes.
Right? And so I think that's first of all, impressive as heck, but and I'm sure difficult, right?
Yeah, it
wasn't
easy.
Very difficult to say, okay, I'm Carolyn. I need to make decisions that are right for me, even though they may not be popular with whomever. But you have the ability to do that. And to me, again, not having been through what you've been through, but hearing your story, I just think that I don't even have words to describe it, which is unusual for me not to have words. But it's a step that is beyond the grief. And, you know, before we end, I want to share something that you said, and we were talking about, you know, kind of preparing for this podcast. And I said, well, don't take us to the end. And you said,
I did say that's
going what
to
did
be
you
my,
say?
It's going to be my end.
No. You said there is no end to the story.
There
is no end to the story, right?
There is
no end to the story.
Yeah.
Which
when we were talking before we went on.
Before we went on, you said there's no end to the story. Because
no.
It's not like grief goes away.
Right.
Right? It's
but
not
you
like,
learn to live with it in different ways. And in, I don't know that it's right for me to say for everyone, it doesn't make you better. It just makes you be able to deal with it in a better way, maybe, you know, by doing things to make your life better now that you're alone. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, to live a joyous journey, right?
To live a joyous journey, yes.
That's right. Despite circumstances.
That's right.
To be able to live a joyous
journey.
And
I am still able to find joy in almost every day. I mean, I look up every day, you know, because people don't know what they're missing if they don't look up. I mean, there's lots of stuff to see if you look up. And I'm not just talking about spiritually. I'm talking about cloud formations, birds, trees, whatever it might be. I mean, that's me. It truly is me, you know. So, but I laugh. I don't cry hardly at all. You know, there are times when I might, but like his anniversary or something like that, the death of his anniversary. This year was hard because it was 5 years, you know, but it's different now. It's not as hard as it used to be, but I'll miss him forever. But I know I'll see him again forever, and we'll both be whole in whatever form that takes.
It's amazing. We are running out of time.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Really.
Thank you.
Again, I think anyone that's listening is going to have a privilege and honor of hearing this story. And I hope if you're listening, regardless of where you are in your joyous journey, that if something that Carolyn shared with you today touches you, then I think Andreas and I are pretty proud of that, because
yes, absolutely true.
It's been an honor to do this. Thank you.
So again, we're wrapping up another episode of Joyous Journeys Over 60. I again hope that that something that was shared today touches you. Please come back. We have other topics and other episodes coming. Again, Carolyn, thank you. Andreas, thank you. I'm Jane Ray. Thanks, everyone.